On episode 436 of the 40 Plus Fitness podcast, we meet Marcus Freudman and discuss his documentary, Cancer is Curable Now. You can find the full show notes for this episode at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/436.
Have you decided you're ready to make a change? To reclaim your health and fitness? The 40 Plus Fitness podcast is here for you. I'm your host, Alan Meisner. I'm an NSAM certified personal trainer with a specialization in corrective exercise and fitness nutrition. Let me be your coach as you find your way on your health and fitness journey. All right, let's go.
Our guest today is a director and writer known for the documentary Cancer is Curable Now. With no further ado, here is Marcus Freudenman. Marcus, welcome to 40 Plus Fitness.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm very excited to be here.
You know, most of the time when I have a guest on, it's a book. And that book, you know, will take me anywhere from 6 to 12 hours to read, depending on how long the book is. You took all the information I think I would have gotten from a book, and you put it into a documentary that was less than 2 hours long. Congratulations for that. That was pretty insane.
Well, we live in a fast-paced world, and most people don't have that endless time to go through. But let's face it, that way, once you are intrigued, there is a workbook that comes with the movie, and that is 460 pages, okay. Double print, small, so you can go much deeper.
Okay. I did not read the workbook, I promise. I didn't do that homework, but I did watch the documentary, and you had Ms. Gersten, or you know, Dr. is it Ms. Gersten, on to talk about her method, and I've had someone on to speak about that before. So I'm basically familiar with a lot of this, and you know, we're over 40, I'm over 50. The C word is one of those words that you just kind of, every time you go to see your doctor, every time you have a lab test, you kind of expect it's going to come up at some point.
Yeah, I know that feeling. So, I'm over 60.
Yeah, and so you know, right now we're like, okay, what's going on in my body? Is there just these things happening? I obviously have no, I don't feel like I have control over, but we're going to talk about that a little bit later because I actually do. But can we talk about what is cancer? When someone gets a diagnosis of cancer from their doctor, what exactly is the doctor telling them?
Oh, well, there's many different, it most of all shows that there is an imbalance in your system that your body can't control anymore, or some would call it the final breakdown of the immune system. It's definitely immune system related disease. And I would just simply call it an overwhelm. There's too many things your immune system should be doing and fixing and repairing and getting rid of. And it's overworked, it's tired, and it's like an army that slowly disintegrates and doesn't do what it's supposed to do because some of the soldiers are starved, then others are living in very unfavorable conditions. And I like to make those, you know, images because when we think about you have a complete army of soldiers that defend you and repair and fix your white blood cells, and they have just too much to do. And that's usually the reason why we move with age into a cancer state. But until you get the lump bump state, as they call it, it takes 6 to 7 years. So it's not something that happens overnight. It's something that slowly grows, and there is many components that we know that support growth and many that stop growth. So it's something that we can control quite easily.
Okay, so I'm gonna take your war battle, and I'm gonna carry that
analogy.
Yeah, we're gonna keep going with that one. Okay.
Good.
so I see cancer, and you talked about this a little bit in the documentary, or a lot of people talked about this in documentary, and I thought this was really one of the cooler parts of it. Was okay, so cancer is gonna get into, for lack of a better word, a battle front formation. It's gonna clump together. And so it's all going to, you know, the cancer cells are all going to accumulate, and they're going to all be in one location. And then, you know, they'll tell you, you know, particularly in the old times, supply chain, supply line. If you're not getting, the things that you need for your forces, and you're cut off, that force is just going to wither and die. But cancer can actually develop its own supply line from our own blood system. Can you kind of explain how that process works? Because like I said, it was, for me, it was fascinating to say, okay, here's something that my body should just be beating out and saying, get out of here. You don't belong here. But it's clumped up, set a formation, and now it's getting its supply line set up.
Well, cancer has many attributes to defend itself, and it's more or less a cell in complete survival mode. They don't need the environment anymore. And this is where the biggest discovery has been. A cancer cell has stopped dying, so it tries to survive in unfavorable conditions. There was a study in Switzerland done, which was quite significant. They took, when they did surgery and removed a tumor, whether that prostate or a breast or any tumor that they removed, they always cut out a little bit more tumor tissue around so that they get it all, you know, like the typical sentence, so that we get it all. And then there was a toxicological report done on tumor tissue and on healthy tissue. And the level of heavy metals, the level of bacteria, mold, candida, fungal overgrowth was tested in tumor tissue compared to the healthy tissue. And the results were really significant. Tumor tissue usually had up to 40,000 times higher concentration of heavy metals, of bacteria overgrowth. It's like the body collects toxins and puts them all together into a package, you know, to prevent it. If it can't detoxify, and a lot of us have impaired detox pathways, so the body doesn't know what to do with those toxins, so it stores it in a place and packages. And that's why usually cancer grows in fat tissue. That's where our body stores toxins. So when you look at brain tumors, for example, cholesterol, it's pure fat tissue. So there is many places that your body just starts to hog up toxins. And then within that environment, bacteria and heavy metals in combination get very close together. It's like a root canal filled teeth with a metal pin that is breeding bacteria, and these bacteria transform, for example, mercury into dimethylmercury, which is deadly in a very short time. In the same way, you have heavy metal accumulation of arsenic or mercury or cadmium or whatever in tissue with that high load of bacteria, which then transform the metal into dimethyl arsenic, for example. And that is where then those breeding places of mutated cells happen. A cancer cell is just simply mutated. And the mutation, the change that it stops dying, and that's the apoptosis effect, is more or less a survival mechanism of that cell, which is either in high inflamed areas or in areas of low oxygen, or is in area that are totally poisoned and polluted. And these cells then survive and become mutated cells, which is a cancer cell. So all of us, you, me, at the age of 5 years old, up to the age of 80 years old, you know, we all have every single day many cancer cells that are produced in our body based on the toxins that we are surrounded with, based on the toxins in the air, in the fish, you know, like mercury, heavy metals, we know, coal mining, all of those things, they throw out a lot of pollutants, and we all develop cancer cells. Now, our normal immune system, our army, would then clean up. And they would clean up in many different areas. So they eat mutated cells, they eat cells that are, or destroy cells that are just intermediate. We always say there is like a progression state from a healthy cell to a cancer cell. There's many steps in between. And so those immune cells clean up and tidy up if they are working properly. But now imagine you have leaky gut, for example. It's one of those prime examples. Leaky gut means when you eat, there is little perforations, little holes in your colon, and in your small intestine, where food particles and bacteria and undigested proteins are squeezed out into the bloodstream. So it's like a garden hose that is too old and gets little holes and sprinkles in all directions like a water fountain. And that's the same that happens in our body. We have a few added components why leaky gut happens. For example, any kind of Roundup use that we have in all our normal sprayed vegetables, they cause leaky gut. Heavy metals cause leaky gut. Stress causes leaky gut. So there's many things. So when somebody has leaky gut, every meal they eat, huge amounts of bacteria and undigested proteins are squeezed into the bloodstream. That's an imminent threat to your body, an imminent threat to your whole health. So your body will use all the soldiers, all the army, to clean up that leaky gut, the mess that is created, and will ignore cancer cells, ignore infections, ignores bacteria and heavy metals, because that's not relevant right now. And that's how we occupy our soldiers instead of letting them do the right work. And there's so many, I would call leaky gut phenomenons, you know, food sensitivities, allergies, creams that we put on externally that are absorbed into the bloodstream that then go to the liver. There's so many components how we suppress our immune system every single day that it's just overworked. And that's when then cancer cells start to settle, start to build clusters and start to grow. And once they are connected to the blood supply and get glucose, sugar, then they are perfect in fermenting that sugar, and that's creating a belt around them so that the cancer cells are protected. So it's a very sophisticated survival mechanism that kills us.
Yeah. This episode of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is also sponsored by Lumen. Lumen's handheld device measures your metabolism in real time using your breath. Once only available to professional athletes, it is now available to you. Lumen will tell you if your body is using carbs or fat for fuel. It then provides you with personalized meal plans and insights to help you reach your weight and fitness goals. When we burn fat, we breathe most of it out. The Lumen handheld device will give you the data on that. I love data, especially when it helps us get healthier and more fit. Lumen is working to improve the world's metabolic health and quality of life one breath at a time. Go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/Lumen, LUMEN, and use the code 40fitnesspodcast25 to get $25 off. Visit 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/Lumen and be sure to use the code 40fitnesspodcast25 to get that wonderful listener discount. I'll be sure to have a link and the code in the show notes at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/436. Now, most of the time, we go into the doctor and they're going to give us a diagnosis and say, okay, you have prostate cancer, or you know, you have breast cancer, and they have a protocol. And their protocol is typically nuclear war. We're going to do chemo, radiation, removal, or all of the above. Can you talk about those standard treatments? Because you know, I've had a few people on. We've talked about prostate cancer. We've talked about some other cancers, and there's always a downside to almost every treatment protocol that's currently out there in Western medicine.
Yeah. This is often the philosophical question, because what we believe in, what helps. See, if people believe in conventional medicine, it can do incredible things. I'm very cautious to say it doesn't work or it's not the right way to do, because for some people it does. I think there is a strong belief pattern. If I know chemotherapy will poison me, or that radiation is like Chernobyl and stops everything healthy from growing, then that will happen. So we have a lot of discrepancy here based on belief. But in general, using poison to kill in a body that is already overburdened, usually with poison or with toxins or with heavy metals or with bacteria, you know, bacteria poop and pee, as I always say, they create neurotoxins as a waste product. So there is a lot that is already overburdened. And if I then use more chemicals, it's sometimes a miracle how patients survive even with that extra onslaught instead of cleaning up. See, the biggest problem that we have, and what you just mentioned, you have prostate cancer, you have breast cancer. We look at the disease and we focus on the disease. When I made the documentary and traveled around the world, there was like always, which treatments do we do? Which treatments are most effective? That was my main concern, and I was focusing on that. And until I came to Dr. Rao in Switzerland, he said, Marcus, you're asking really stupid questions. Who cares about treatments? And I was like, you know, after 10 years of research, I thought I had it. He was pretty shocked when he just put me on the spot and said, you're really off the plot. And then he explained, he pulled three charts out and said, look at those three breast cancer patients. They all have breast cancer. They're all around the 40 to 48 mark. The first client has cancer because of self-loathing, a trauma from childhood, being abused. She doesn't care for herself, very high acidic, very low oxygen, slightly obese, but no care for herself. That would constitute into already enough reason for her to have cancer. The other patient has a viral infection, Epstein-Barr virus infection, combined with mold toxicity, and she lives in a very high EMF environment, in a high rise where pretty much everybody has an EMF router, plus the telephone pole is not far away. So she was really exposed, and we know that mold in combination with EMF is very toxic. And then having EBV on top, plenty sufficient reason to develop breast cancer. While the third client had actually really dental problems, she had three different metals in her mouth, which causes a galvanic reaction and released huge amounts of mercury into her system. Plus, she had detox pathways impaired that, you know, she couldn't get rid of toxins no matter what. They all just reoccurred in her body but couldn't be eliminated. So seeing that three identical cancers had three completely different reasons was already like a big awakening. And then we looked at the treatment protocols, and all three had a completely different approach to getting rid of those causes. And once we did, all three patients recovered. And that's, I think it was about 10 years ago when that happened. I never forget, I sat in that office, and it was first time clear to me that we are not treating disease. We need to treat the patient who has the disease and remove all those things that suppress their immune system, overburden their immune system. That was clear. And I followed through with, we had, oh God, over 50,000 people who watched the documentary and studied with us and reported back. And that's when it became clear that we need to completely go away from looking at the cancer. It's just, you know, some people get cancer, others get fibromyalgia, and another one gets depression. It just depends on where those toxins settle and where the problem establishes.
Okay. Now, in the documentary, you talked about some alternatives. So if we, you know, we realize, okay, if we're not talking about just trying to remove a tumor or reduce a tumor or those types of things, if we're actually talking about taking care of our health as a functional, you know, as kind of a more of a functional medicine approach, you talked about a few different things in the document, like ozone treatment, hyperthermia, and PEMF. Could you kind of talk about those?
Yeah, there is many treatments that support the immune system. There's many treatments that remove some of the main causes. For example, when you look at ozone, ozone is antiviral, antibacterial, antifungal. It removes all of the biome and balances it out. If you have an overgrowth of Helicobacter pylori or Klebsiella pseudonymia, all of those bacteria that we need, but we need only a very small quantity in our body. And when they overgrow because the milieu is wrong, then ozone will correct that. And it's been, you know, 30 years in Europe as a standard treatment for every kind of infection. And it's proven its effect. There's hundreds of studies, but it's not allowed in most of the world. So in Australia, doctors lose their license if they offer ozone. Even in Germany, they are clamping down on it. So it's a treatment that is not welcome, yet it is super effective. And because it is so easy to do, we teach patients and clients how to use it at home. So it's a standard treatment that you can do at home, and you more or less help your body to get rid of infections, local infections, skin infections, bacterial infections. It helps healing with leaky gut. It's an amazing treatment. And because you can do it daily at home, the effects are really, really fast. So we have now, since probably about 2 years, a lot of medical professionals, clinics and doctors that work with patients, sell them bundles or sell them equipment so that they can continue the treatment at home. If you go to a $30,000, $50,000 clinic in Germany and you go through a three-week treatment, they give you a device home afterwards because they know that your chances of success are massively increased just by doing those treatments at home. And that's the same with hypothermia. You know, hypothermia is the natural healing response of your body. If you have a cold, a viral infection, a bacterial infection, what is the first response of your body?
A fever,
exactly. And the body stops the reproduction of the virus at 39 Celsius. I think that's 102, 101.8 or something like that. So it stops the reproduction. The virus is just a string of RNA, and that goes into a cell, and then that RNA or DNA will then tell your cell to replicate out of amino acids a virus. So all of a sudden that one string goes into a cell and then replicates thousands of clones. Now that process is stopped immediately at 39 Celsius fever, which means your body says, oh, we have a virus that shouldn't be in my body. It starts affecting cells. Let's upregulate the temperature and then we stop reproduction. That's the first step. Then you go into the next step, which is, think about, you know, Darth Vader and the soldiers, we all know them, the ones in white uniform, they're sitting on a long production line in your bone marrow. And all of a sudden, as soon as the temperature goes up, that's a signal that those new soldiers that are built in your bone marrow are released into the bloodstream. So as soon as you go into a fever, your body releases out of the bone marrow thousands of white blood cells, killer cells, that are then cleaning up with that virus and the infected cells. And that is usually a process that takes 2 days. And that's why when children get a cold or when you have your spring cold, it's coming for 2 or 3 days, then you have a short period of time, and then it disappears again after you had your fever. And that is the normal response of your body, and we recreate that with a hypothermia dome. So it's the same thing. We heat the body up in about 30 to 45 minutes to fever temperature. We stop all reproduction of virus and bacteria, and then we heat the body further up so that it releases all those white blood cells. And there is another super effect that has been documented 1,000 times, and that's why it's used in conventional clinics now as well. It flags pathogens and floating cancer stem cells with heat shock proteins. And I always say it's like when a cancer cell floats in our blood, it's invisible because it's a cell from our body. But if I heat the body up, then all of a sudden the cells that can't handle heat very well, which are cancer cells, they create heat shock proteins. They grow green hair. And all of a sudden, your immune system, all those new soldiers that are available, look around and see, oh, all the guys with green hair need to be eliminated, and they start attacking. So it's a triple effect that you get with hypothermia, and that's why it's the fourth pillar of conventional treatments in Germany, and it's now used in so many university clinics to bring back a patient. Let's say you have chemotherapy and your white blood cell count goes down. Well, then they do hypothermia to bring your white blood cell count back up, and then they continue chemotherapy. It also reduces the side effects. You need less chemotherapy to have the same effects because your cells are better supplied. It's an incredible system. So they use that. And because it's illegal in America and Australia and New Zealand and England, well, we teach people how to do it at home.
Yeah, and the cool thing from the documentary was that you can do this. There's localized, and then there's the whole body. And so the treatment home, I assume, is more localized versus the whole body.
The other way around. The whole body is very easy to do at home.
Okay.
Whereas the local the local hypothermia device is about $500,000, and they are not something people usually put in their living room.
Yeah, that's a little outside my budget. Okay, and then the last one we talked about was PEMF.
I always say it's like a toothbrush. When you use it too long, it gets tired, and then it stops. You know those electric toothbrush. And then you put them into a dock, into a little stand, and they recharge. And there is no cable connected. It's just induced energy through magnetic waves. And that's pretty much the same thing. We live in a world that has a magnetic field around. And by moving through that magnetic field and moving through different forms of magnetic field, we are alive. Our cells have energy. It's an energy field that keeps us strong and alive. Now, we can replicate this energy field and this recharge station with a pulsing magnetic field. And those pulsing magnetic fields, they act in very similar ways like a recharge. All of your cells slowly lose, you know, that membrane potential. They get tired, like we all do. Lack of nutrients, toxicity, exhaustion, all of those things contribute. Now, if I sit myself on a PEMF device while watching, you know, a movie on a lazy boy, it doesn't really matter. It's like recharging every single cell. And if you keep doing the treatment for 2, 3, 4 days, you will find that your inflammation goes down, your gut starts healing, your energy levels goes up, your healing expedites. If you have open wounds, they start healing faster. It's a massive energy boost that we can give ourselves. And that's why most clinics in Europe and in America use PEMF as a recharge for patients. When you think about having a cold, how exhausting that is. And we all know when you have just a simple problem, how much it drains the body. Now think about you have tumors or you have infections or you have large inflamed areas. That is draining you of energy. And the less energy you have, the less you can heal. Because the body needs tremendous amounts to detoxify of energy, to detoxify, to heal, to repair. And that's what we give it with that PEMF machine. So I've sold one, I have to tell you, that was my biggest transformation. I sold one to a retirement village. And after a few weeks, the nurses called and said, Marcus, we do have a problem with the device. Would you mind coming by? And I went there and she said, we exchanged the problem. Before we had moaning and grumpy and pain and tired and, you know, Now we have parties in the corridor. We have people sneaking out at nights and going out for adventures. The whole dynamic changed, dancing in the corridor. We would like to order 4 more machines. That was a very sweet, you know, testimony of how especially elderly people really recharge with that device. And if you look at the demographic of people in hospitals and clinics and that are run down, it's the same for them. It just gives them a massive boost.
Now, one of the things that kind of resonated with me as we start talking about these other protocols is that they are, I want to say life building versus destroying. So it's not the nuclear bomb. It's the how do we provide more resources for our troops, if you will. But there's a way for us to avoid the war in the first place, or at least while we're fighting the war, for us to make sure we have a really good battle plan and a really good battlefield position, and that's our lifestyle. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Let me very shortly say, when you get diagnosed, and I think everybody stumbles upon that learning curve in a very similar way, we don't notice before it's too late. There is a small demographic of people, you know, who care for mom and dad or who look after a relative who has been diagnosed with cancer. So they are what I call early starters. They witness and do the learning curve at an early stage, and they are also the ones that usually learn how to prevent. The normal general demographic needs to hit their nose on the wall before they start waking up.
Well, in all fairness, Marcus, if they're listening to this podcast, they're woke. They're ready. They're ready to have this conversation. They're looking after our health. So we're ready. So what are those things we can do?
The most important is in regards to your setup. There is 5 main components. Number one is stress. Constant stress suppresses your immune system. And that is really important. The second one is toxicity that we absorb and consume. And it starts from, you know, sprayed vegetables to Monsanto-grown grain and corn and all of those things, which just, you know, they are designed to keep bugs away. Then they also do that in your gut. So the effects of sprayed food and toxic food and preservatives and colors and flavors, they really make a massive impact. Then it's also what medication you take and the side effects of those medications. There is so many components. And for me, that was actually always the most irritating part of the whole lot. You know, healthy lifestyle, doing exercise, eating the right food and having the right nutrients and having enough oxygen. It all is one big part. And what we've done is we created a mind map. And that mind map takes you through all of those individual steps. You know, how are your teeth connected? How are they related to certain organs? How is your mind connected to the whole thing? What are different exercises that you can do during the day? How is oxygen connected to cancer? Oxygen is one of the key proponents for spreading, for angiogenesis, for the building of, because cancer cells don't need oxygen, they ferment the food, whereas your healthy cells need oxygen. So how can we implement more oxygen into our life, feed all cells with more oxygen? And that mind map is actually very, very detailed. There's so many different components, and you will have a very different set of combination of things that you miss out on as someone else. And that's why we made that mind map. And God, we had over 50,000 people go through that training. And it really shows that everyone has a different set of reasons to be sick, and out of their environment, out of their habits, how they grew up. And to look through that mind map and look through all the different departments, that's where it really becomes obvious. Oh, that's one of my blind spots. Or this is one of the reasons that could trigger my disease.
Marcus, I define wellness as being the healthiest, fittest, and happiest you can be. What are 3 strategies or tactics to get and stay well?
3 out of my many. Oxygen would be number 1. Trusting the body that it knows what it's doing and not interfering with medication. I think that's one of the key factors, especially in present times, where a lot of people don't trust their body and suppress fever. With any kind of fever-suppressing medication, that is always very, very challenging. That's what we know increases cytokine storms and causes a lot of havoc. So trusting in the body and allowing the body to really do the work it's designed to do and supporting it in ways that are very natural, like exercise, outdoor sweating, sweat lodges. We've seen tremendous change by doing that and becoming aware of what surrounds you, becoming aware of how toxic your intake, your food intake, your surrounding, your environment is. And that starts with EMF all the way to the food that you eat.
Cool. So, Marcus, if someone wanted to learn more about you, more about the documentary, Cancer is Curable Now, or your Truly Healthy stuff, that you're doing tons of stuff. Your site is really big. You know, spend a lot of time out there. If someone wanted to learn more about all that, where would you like for me to send them?
Trulyheal.com. So it's trulyheal, trulyheal.com /40+fitness. And I've put a page together where you have access to a training that we provide internally to our students. So it's a 6-part video training that takes you through every single thing that is important to look at. And you have access to the documentary, you have access to the research. It's all on those pages. It's quite a massive load of information. I always say it's the shortcut that I've been looking for. When my friend was diagnosed and we started to look, you know, you run into 1,000 different information streams and you don't know which one is the right one. And what we've done in that training is actually give clarity to all the different things that we know and that we can combine into a very, very effective healing program.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed the documentary, so I know this is a really good site. So if you want to learn more about this, if you can't write this down right now, you can go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/436. This is episode 436, or just go to the main podcast website, and you can find the link there. Marcus, thank you so much for being a part of 40 Plus Fitness.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Next time on the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet James Nestor and discuss his book, Breath, The New Science of a Lost Art. Until then, have a happy and healthy week.